This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. Thank you very much. Thank you. On this, a Monday evening in the tri-state area, my name is Peter Rosenberg. I can be reached, if you're interested, on Twitter, Rosenberg Radio, or on Instagram. Or if you're a big fan of wrestling merch, the ultimate wrestling merch. I've been a bit of a fiend recently, so... If you're sitting on old wrestling merch, please reach out to me.
A lot of people are talking about your sweater today, Peter.
It's gorgeous.
Good or bad?
I won't hear any negative.
Rick DiPietro, or Peter has to be hot wearing the sweater on top of the sweater.
Well, okay, that's a
DiPietro.
That's more him than the sweater.
Sergey Verdesco on Twitter said, Peter needs to lower his sleeves. His arms are so hairy, it's distracting. Gorilla arms.
That's more him than the sweater.
Thank you. I'll do it, though. Sure. Anything else?
That's it.
I got to tell
you. Because the sweater's gorgeous, Peter.
There's just so many people who are obsessed with my arm hair. That's
if you paid anything less than $100 for that sweater, it was a bargain.
It was in that range.
Okay.
It was at an outlet. It was the All Saints outlet.
Well worth it.
I got to tell you, Don, it's so soft and luscious that it's the only sweater I own that maybe I've ever owned, Don. I would wear it right on the skin, no T-shirt under it.
Oh wow, that's bold. You know,
that's gold.
If you could feel it, it feels that good on your chest. You could just wear it, no shirt. Don't even worry about it.
But you have a T-shirt on under today, right?
I do, actually, and yeah. I'm glad you brought it up. It's a gorgeous Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith, SummerSlam 92 T-shirt. But ENN tonight is sponsored by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is looking for volunteers to help save our rivers. Whatever you're doing, if you drink a Coors Seltzer, you're volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer, help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com.
So let's do the math here.
Okay.
Three sponsors for Young, one for Darnold, one every day for ENN, zero for whenever Passon's on.
But Passon doesn't have a feature.
Yeah, he's not a weekly.
But you know what? If they could sell it, there would be a feature.
They can't sell it.
I don't think it's right what you're doing.
I'm trying to protect my guy.
Well, you're defensive because you know we're right.
No, you're not right. You know the last 2 weeks he's been better than he's ever been.
Well, I'd like to start off tonight, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
So Rick Renteria has departed from the White House. The White Sox.
That's not nice. Michael gets bothered by those types of drops.
That's all right. No, I'm fine with it. That was a real mess up.
Yeah, no, it's more the accent ones that bother him. Like when he says, you know, draw.
Yeah, that's a rough. Those are rough.
It's awful. I can't say it.
Let's be honest. The word drawer is a tough one for real New Yorkers, isn't it?
Draw.
Yeah, you can't even do it, even when thinking about it.
How do you say it?
Drawer.
Drawer.
Is it done?
But if you say that way, there should be an R in there. There's no R.
What do you mean? It's a drawer.
D-R-A-W-E-R.
Like
you draw with a pencil.
A drawer. It's a drawer. A drawer.
You talking like a dresser?
Yeah.
No, that has an R in it. I'm talking about artist draws.
Oh.
Like, who am I? I'm the dumbest guy on the show, but I always thought it was like dresser drawer.
Correct.
And I'm going to draw with my
pencil.
That's
correct. That's what you just said it correctly.
Okay.
Well, I can't. But you know,
Michael, how do you say what's in a dresser?
Clothes.
Okay. Wow. Don, really a big fan of that line.
See, it's that kind of wit that gets you out of trouble.
Well, yeah, it's very, very good. All right, guys. Well, a divided Senate committee held the first of 4 days of confirmation hearing for Judge Anthony.
Whoa, are we getting political here? What are you doing?
Well, I told you we were covering the whole Coney Barrett thing.
Yeah, he's not a liar.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just
that
kidding.
That was terrific, Peter.
I'm kidding.
I got to tell you.
It's a hell of a show, isn't it?
It really is. What, the Senate hearings?
It's that too. I hear tomorrow could be great.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No, we'll, we talked a lot of Yankees to start the show today, and we did not hear any audio from LeBron James and the Lakers after their big championship win in Game 6 over the Heat last night, which just over 35 people watched. LeBron James on ABC saying the Lakers want their damn respect.
We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization want their respect. Laker Nation want their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
Please.
That line was very set up, by the way. That line was very planned.
Just stop, LeBron. You've got it all. What's next? You got it all. What more do you want?
It is
everybody has to love you? You sound like me. I mean, really.
I was going to say.
I'm damaged.
I was going to say, hey, kettle.
Pot called.
Yeah, you are starting now to understand.
Yes, I very much understand. I've never ever avoided the fact that I'm supremely damaged.
Yeah, there's a lot.
He is not damaged.
Wrong.
He shouldn't be. Yeah. I've had slights throughout my life that I fight and put on a laminated list. Where are his slights? I really had slights.
You always taught me, Michael. You punch up, not down.
That's
so
true. Where, yeah, he can't punch up. If he punches up, he'd hit God. That's it.
He'd hit Jordan, then God.
Well, that's the problem.
But it's a narrative that's created by people that just flat out don't like him. You could not like him. That's fine. That's life. But to not respect him is just, then you're being like Skip Bayless, and those are people that are using you to try to get fame and fortune.
There is a lot of gray around athletes of this caliber in that, you know, I love LeBron. Think he's a great guy and an incredible player. I still don't think he's Jordan, which is okay. But he has his moments where you're like, come on, bro. You know, last night was sort of one of those moments. So maybe he confuses that with feeling slighted just because, you know, people aren't going to consider him perfect. But he's not perfect. It is what it is. He's still iconically great. Three championships. I mean, four championships on three different teams. Finals MVP on each one.
But this is, I guess, what irritates people is just that attitude. And also, it's making it about him. Like, he did mention Pelinka. He did mention the Lakers. But like,
yeah, but that gave him cover to say what he wanted about himself.
But what does that happen in any other sport? Like, you know, whoever wins the championship this year, you know, in baseball, is that going to be the narrative? Or, you know, like I said, like when Sidney Crosby won his cups with Pittsburgh, did he bring up Gretzky? No, because it's not a thing. But for some reason with LeBron, it's a thing. I never saw anybody have to battle the team he's facing and the legacy of somebody else. Like, and nobody else has had to do that. But was Tom Brady ever battling Joe Montana?
It is. It's very interesting.
No, we considered him the best. Montana went 4-for-4, but every time Brady lost, like, well, he's not Joe Montana. No, he's better than Joe Montana.
I know, so the fault goes around a lot of different ways, because it's people who are annoying who continuously bring up the debate, but then LeBron is to blame also, because he's now fully in on it, too.
Oh, right, exactly.
And he furthers it, but I have to blame myself, too, because, guys, after all that, and all the conversation we're having about how the debate's stupid, when I saw LeBron puffing on that cigar yesterday, you know what I thought? He ripped that off after watching The Last Dance.
Also, I you know what I thought? I hate to say it because you know how I feel about LeBron. Nozzle. That's what I thought.
It felt forced.
It was nozzly. What is he, Red Auerbach and Michael Jordan rolled into one?
I think, or Joe Burrow?
But I think he makes it easier. Like, if LeBron didn't buy into it, then it would die out. But
I agree.
It grows because he buys into it. And it bothers him. And I had somebody suggest it was Karen Veenstra, I believe it was, who talked about, does this have to do with The Last Dance? Like, everybody saw The Last Dance.
Oh, she said the same thing?
I think so.
Or did you just confuse me with Karen Veenstra?
I might have confused you.
No, Veenstra is an attractive person. You're not.
I don't know. I saw it somewhere. You even said it. But did that many people consume The Last Dance? I guess so. There was nobody on. Nobody was watching TV. Nobody was. There was no games to compete.
No, No. It was everyone saw it, and it just felt like even that in that move. And I know Michael Jordan wasn't the first person to smoke a cigar. Obviously, I'm a Celtics fan, but in this time that we're in, I've never seen LeBron smoke a cigar before. We've all just consumed everything Michael Jordan and what he did at championships. So to then see LeBron with the cigar, you know, you're sitting there thinking about the stories they were telling of Jordan sitting at the piano smoking the cigar. There was no way not to think about it.
If you could talk to LeBron, though, wouldn't you say, you won? I mean, you've won. You've won in the game of life. You've wanted everything. What more do you need? I think, damn respect. Stop it.
And you bring embarrassment to yourself
when you say that.
If you're battling with Jordan, then forget it, because you can't go 6-for-6.
And one of our Twitter followers said, how come no good evening to Don?
I didn't even notice.
Did I get distracted?
Yeah.
I think you did. You were so hot to just to get the punchline.
Oh, no, I know what it was. Michael brought up my sweater, right?
No, that was before.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, good evening to Don.
It's a historic fan team, I mean, history, franchise.
I felt as forced as that drop.
No, that drop was genius.
I mean, we're 14 minutes into ENN, and you're saying hello.
I will not leave you out, Don, even if I forgot. So LeBron, of course, is the finals MVP. He also was in 2012 and 2013 with the Heat, 2016 with the Cavaliers. First player ever to win it with three different franchises. Fourth finals MVP moves him out of a tie with Magic, Tim Duncan, and Shaq, and into second all-time, trailing only Michael Jordan with six. The Lakers.
Although
not,
LeBron's been to more finals than Michael.
That is a fact.
He's lost more, but he has been to more.
I mean, he also owned the finals.
He's had to jump around from different teams to make that happen. I think that's also something that rubs
that
a lot of people
in
the wrong way.
I don't know, though. But he could have stayed with the Cavs and gone to the finals all the years and lost.
But that's not what happened, because the feeling is that he went and joined a super team in Miami to get the championships rolling. You know, then he went back to Cleveland, and now to go to the Lakers and get teamed up with another superstar. Like, there's that feeling of that does.
Don't you think, though, he gets more hate than Kevin Durant, who went to a ready-made team? At least LeBron recruited the people.
Yeah, but
he couldn't just go to the Heat and join Dwayne Wade and win. He had to get Bosch to join too.
No offense to Kevin Durant, he is one of the best basketball players right now. He's not on the LeBron Jordan level.
He's one notch down. And even though he's fantastic,
I think that's significant, right, Peter? That one notch down.
KD has never been in, nor will he be in, the conversation for the greatest player of all time. He is in the conversation for among the greatest players of all time.
Yeah.
Whereas Jordan's in, and by the way, the category that I'm putting Kevin Durant in being in that category, you're talking about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. They're also not in the category for greatest player of all time. So KD's in a very high, incredibly high category, but not the Jordan-LeBron category. That conversation's really Jordan, LeBron, Wilt, Abdul-Jabbar, Russell, maybe. I mean, it's a very limited conversation, wouldn't you say?
Very.
For number one?
No, it's probably single digits, right? I don't know if we can get to 10.
No, I think it might be the five I just said. I don't know who else would be there. I mean, I know there are people who throw in Bird and Magic. And by the way, Larry Bird was my childhood hero. I was obsessed. He's not in the conversation.
No.
And by the way, Magic, incredible. Not in the conversation. Not a good enough scorer to be in the conversation.
Dr. J, not in the conversation.
Nope. The big O is pretty
Knox,
amazing.
Not in not the in conversation.
What
Who?
About Shaq?
Kevin Knox.
Kevin Knox actually is in the conversation.
A little too early to tell.
That's the thing.
More of a
Give
sample size with Knox. What about
I don't
Shaq?
Know how many people out there saw the Kevin Frank Knox dump.
Frank Ntilikina, not in the conversation.
I want to say that I believe the Kevin Knox dump drop is vastly underrated.
But it didn't win, did it? Didn't win because only Don wins.
That seems to be the case. What about
I'll tell you what. The two Michael drops we had last week, I believe, could be higher seeded than anything Don's done so far.
But Don will win. You're an idiot. Your sister smells, and she's ugly. Did you guys get the text I sent you from DiPietro?
I can't get it because I'm on my computer, and Don's green ruins it. What? Can you tell me on the air?
It was just a guy with a lot of chest and arm hair.
Oh, thank you.
He said I found a picture of Peter on the internet.
I'm so upset.
I'll ask a fifth time. Hopefully we'll get an answer. How about Shaq?
No. I don't think Shaq's in it. I don't.
No. Right.
You know.
No.
Because then you're in the big man conversation, and it's Wilt over Shaq. End of conversation. Abdul-Jabbar over Shaq. End of conversation.
How about R.J. Barrett?
We haven't seen enough.
Okay.
And by the way, that brings me back to the story I wanted to do about R.J. Coney Barrett.
It's not R.J.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Please.
Let's hear from Shefty.
Why?
Because he talked about the Jets.
You idiot.
And if the Jets could deal Sam Darnold if they ended up with the number one pick and wanted to get Lawrence.
There are questions about what the Jets would do if they finished with the number one pick. What would happen to Sam Darnold? Well, the Cardinals were just in that spot with Josh Rosen. They wound up trading Josh Rosen for a 2 and a 5 to draft Kyler Murray. And there are GMs around the league who believe that if the Jets were in that spot, they would go ahead and draft Trevor Lawrence. And they believe that they would be able to get back for Sam Darnold a second round pick, maybe a 1, depending on the situation.
If they can get a 1, then it's a no-brainer. It's not going to be a high 1, but it's a no-brainer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that feels
so Josh Rosen is not Sam Darnold. Even in the first year, he didn't show that, so they got a 2 and a 5. You got to get more for Darnold. That's why it's a difficult decision. If you don't get a 1, remember, you traded 3 2s to move up to the third spot. So I'm not sure that you can just give him away. Again, it wasn't Douglas that made that pick, but it was a Jet organization. You don't want to give away a guy that some people think could be great, which is what the Yankees are falling into with Gary Sanchez. You give him away and he blossoms somewhere else, you look bad. You give Sam away and he blossoms somewhere else, it's your fault.
Well, but as you said, because it doesn't happen all that often, but it that you get rid of a player like Sam. But they never seem to get better other places. Right?
Steve Young.
I don't think he got better. I just think he was on a better team.
Well, that could be the same thing with Sam.
I think everybody knew. I don't think anybody was surprised he became what he became. He just needed that opportunity.
From what he did in Tampa Bay and with the LA Express, I don't think they thought he was going to be a Hall of Famer.
I don't know. The way the LA Express paid him. They obviously thought that this kid was really
He would
special.
Tell you it's annuities.
All right, so Young, that would probably be it, right?
I would throw in there. I know he didn't go on to be a Hall of Famer, but he did have some great success. Doug Williams.
How about Alex Smith?
I think Doug Williams was good in Tampa. Williams went to a championship game in Tampa.
But how about Alex Smith? He was much better with Kansas City than he was with San Francisco.
That is true.
He went to a championship game with San Francisco.
Played
well.
But he was
a
better quarterback with KC.
Wait, he went to a championship game with San Francisco?
Yeah, when the Giants beat him, Alex Smith was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, but further back. Right. Hey, you know what? You mentioned Alex Smith, didn't you?
I sure did.
Yeah.
He played yesterday. Kyle Allen started the game for Washington, got banged up and slammed to the ground, so had to get taken off the field and get checked out for concussion, and Alex Smith, after 2 years and nearly dying because of that horrifying broken leg, was back on the field. Let's hear from Alex Smith. Did he ever think playing in the NFL again was possible?
No, I mean, certainly was there, and I continued to reach for it and put it out there and strive for it, but no, I'd be lying if I was saying there weren't a lot of days when I didn't think it was going to happen. But, you know, you just kind of keep pushing through, you know, and I always felt like when I had my darkest moments, there was always something around the corner that happened that I just kept kind of plugging along. And all of a sudden I made a big gain or a big step or something clicked. And, you know, and then I'd kind of keep marching and, you know, and I felt like it would repeat itself. And all of a sudden though, then I'd make another, you know, another jump. And for me, obviously the biggest one to been the last, you know, 6-8 weeks, you know, obviously getting out on the field and really doing it and knowing that I can and doing it consistently.
That's a movie. All right, so the end of the movie is him jogging onto the field after the kid gets hurt. And then you fade to black and roll credits before Aaron Donald eats him alive on a sack. Also, did you see that the former president, Barack Obama, actually tweeted congratulations at him? I didn't know they had a relationship. He said, here's to my good friend Alex Smith and the journey that he's made. It was pretty nice.
Oh, that's very cool. I didn't see that. I'll tell you what, though. So Alex struggled. It really looked like he needed that first hit to happen. And after he did get sacked by Aaron Donald and about three other Rams, he seemed a little bit more comfortable, guys, but he really didn't throw the ball down the field very much. And between Smith and Kyle Allen, if Ron Rivera was trying to prove some point that this team is decent and the problem is Dwayne Haskins, that point wasn't proved yesterday. They were not better without Haskins.
It was a great pick by me.
The O-line was porous.
You had to be nervous, though, with the quarterback situation, like that Cinderella.
I would never root against Alex Smith, but how much could you expect the guy to do? No, I felt very secure. I hate R.J. Bell for costing me a perfect week, but otherwise.
Could have had a backdoor cover, though, right? It was 30-10, so 13.5, it's...
Well, no, but it was 30-10 late. I mean, it was a 20-point lead for so long.
Yeah.
That you're thinking, but even if they get the 7 here, you still cover.
Well, I was watching that because, you know, no offense, Peter, but I'm battling Michael in the picks.
No, I get it.
And
I'm still alive.
And I got my 5 points, and I Tuesday, I got a chance to go 3-0. And I was hoping
that is such a bogus pick you made. The more I think about it, and everybody on Twitter saying nowhere else on that line is that line except the one that we
have. Except the spread that I got from Andrew. Why is this a Don problem? I was given a spread. I took it. You could have taken the same thing, and I even called it to your attention. What line are we using?
That's fair. We did have the option.
Okay. You could have said, no, we're not doing that one. It was up in the air whether it was going to be played or not.
Because then you would have said that I was swinging it around, and I never do that.
Peter, I asked. You didn't have any problem with it. That's what we were given. We go off the numbers we're given.
Anymore.
I mean, everybody's giving me grief on Twitter. What am I supposed to do?
This week,
you saw a little angle and you grabbed it. You grabbed it like with no
life's
shame
working
at all.
An angle, but that's an Andrew problem, not a Don problem. I get the spread. I asked you guys, is that the spread we're going with before I made the pick? You're like, yeah, that's the number.
All right,
so I made the pick. You could have done the same
pick
thing.
Because if you lose, then we're tied. If you win, you're a point ahead, and I don't like it.
Don deserves to be ahead of you. He's better.
What? Excuse me?
He's better.
I'm 5-1 the last 2 weeks.
But Don's record's astounding.
He's got one more win than I do.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he did. One more win. No, he has
one
more
win. If I win tomorrow, it'll be two more wins.
I win!
It'd be 1 point, but it'll be two more wins.
I do well.
My allocation of points has been poor.
I think it's allocation, but my Don, there's been no allegation against you. It's simply an allocation. Now, I'm considering
this
week.
I'm new to this. You're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, I'm just trying to have some fun.
For my picks this week, I may, like, put pieces of paper on the floor.
Why don't you have Bear pick it?
And, as I'm saying, and see where a bear walks to.
Couldn't be worse than what you're doing.
Just whatever you do, don't quit. I mean, that just would look
really bad. I think quitting is very – there's valor in that.
But also at this point, it's bogus. The whole thing is ridiculous because we haven't come up with the punishment as yet.
I know.
And now it's going to be influenced because Peter clearly is on his way to having to do something. And now what is he going to agree to do? Because the whole time we come up with this, it's going to be, all right, what's Peter going to do?
Exactly. So now I'm going to vote everything down. This is going to be what happens in Congress. I'm just going to keep voting it down.
We work so hard on this show. Seriously, there's so much effort put into everything that we do except this. We're finishing week 5. We can't come up with the bed. It's ridiculous.
I mean, I just ate the crickets from last year, so it feels fresh.
Yeah, but that was blamed, right? That was like, oh, we can't come up with it because Peter didn't eat the crickets yet. You ate them 3 weeks ago.
Good, fair point. Also fair. Now, you mentioned the Alex Smith injury, or I did, I should say. So we should talk about Dak Prescott, who had surgery on his ankle after that gruesome injury where his foot ended up facing the wrong direction. I was watching it live as well, Michael. My thought was the same as Tony Romo's. I saw him squeezing his calf. I didn't notice his foot. I just thought, oh, he must have cramped up. And then I quickly noticed his foot was tilted the wrong direction. Andy Dalton takes over for the Cowboys, who, by the way, footnote, they were playing the New York Giants, who actually played an interesting game and ran a lot of interesting plays, a reverse to Ingram for a touchdown. Daniel Jones had some very nice passes. And there were some good moments, guys, but ultimately their defense ended up being porous, and Andy Dalton was able to move the Cowboys down the field. 37-34, Cowboys beat the Giants.
Listen, I can't defend the defense because there was, you know, they gave up a ton of points, but some of those points was on another fumble by Jones, which is starting to get a little bit of a problem because now it's costing you games. And on the final play leading to the field goal, it was defended well. It was just a heck of a throw. I mean, that was a really, really good throw. Buttle always says that every big play is 12 guys doing their job, the 11 on offense and the one guy that screws up on defense. Not on that play. It was well defended. It was just a tremendous throw. I can't rag on the Giants for what they did. I saw a lot of good things. Maybe because I got nothing really to go by because they haven't won a game yet. But I saw, like you said, those play call. They had the reverse for a touchdown. They had the fake field goal, which worked, but in the stupid motion by the tackle. They had another long touchdown pass that came back on an offensive pass interference, which was away from the play. You know, so the little mistakes. But I feel good about this coaching staff.
You're definitely seeing. They do not look like the Jets. I am curious, at least, about their games. The Jets, at this point, if you're not a Jets fan and you don't have money on the game, there's no motivation to turn on a Jets game. The Giants, you're curious to see what they'll do. You'll see what Slayton looks like. You want to see. There are things to look at. Not with the Jets.
Rick DiPietro just came up with a good thing for Peter to bet.
Okay.
Being waxed like the 40-year-old virgin.
No chance.
Why not?
What a horrible, horrible job by Rick. Because that is looks so awful and excruciating. I would ever be a part of a bet that I'm almost sure that, I mean, I know you guys think I should have went out and bought the crickets out myself, so I should want to sign up for this pain, but no thanks. I'll pass. I'm down 11 right now. No chance.
Next. One good week and one bad week by one of us. You're right back in it.
I would
there's six
love,
points available each week.
I would love to hear what the equivalent punishments would be for you guys to what that would feel like. Because my skin's very sensitive. That would be a nightmare. I would
yeah,
weep.
You're not doing that.
No chance I'm doing that. By the way, people have been wanting to wax me in some way as part of a radio bet for my entire radio career. It's never happened. There'd have to be such a strong upside on the other side. It would, you know what I'm saying? Like it's unreasonable.
At this point, no, take my advice, Peter. Just deny every possibility, and then you're good.
I think well, I should. Then, too.
But that takes a lot away from the show.
Well,
you
got to
do it for the good of the show.
I blame you.
Well, you blame me. Why?
Yes, because you're it's your show. You're in charge, and you drop the ball every year on this. Period.
Let's I'm not going to play the Stephen Jones audio because it sounds terrible. It's Stephen Jones.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was like Damian Woody call.
It was like Stephen Jones.
No, Landline Collins.
Stephen Jones did go on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and say that Dak Prescott is still the future of the Cowboys. So
can
we set our best.
Can we hear Stephen Jones underwater, we'll call it?
No, you don't want to hear this.
No, okay.
It's too long because they left the question in. It's just,
and
you can't do it.
And I have great audio. RJ is telling me I need to play from Vic Fangio. The Fange, if you will, talking about being happy about the postponements in football.
In a weird way, kind of happy to see some of this stuff happen because you see who the whiners are, who the b****ers are, and who can't handle adversity. And I'm going to try hard that the Denver Broncos don't fall into any of those categories.
Tough, Vic.
Is he talking badly about people who aren't able to follow protocol? Is that what he means?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to understand exactly what he's saying.
Do you want to hear what Andrew Gunling's suggestion was for the bet? The loser has to go to a heavily trafficked area in New York City and sing a song of the winner's choosing. That wouldn't bother me at all.
During COVID, would it?
I'd sing with a mask on.
And I'm dying at the bottom of a pit.
Yeah,
and
this didn't embarrass Don.
See, that's... The problem is that this is not the city for that. Nobody would bat an eye.
They don't bat an eye at the naked cowboy.
That's what I'm saying. You got a guy playing guitar in his underwear. Nobody pays him any mind at all.
That guy's a hack.
I mean, the things we've seen in Penn Station over the years, Michael, like somebody just singing in the middle. You know what? You'd actually make a few bucks. People would probably throw money at you.
We would watch people in Penn Station defecate right in front of everybody.
Right in front of everybody.
That's
no one would blink.
Not
you sound, you, but the way you just made it sound was like that was a hobby of yours, was going to watch people defecate.
He's pooping! He's pooping!
Well, that's between me and my own self.
I mean, I don't even know if it's open anymore. We used to go to Caboose for Saucy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? And they actually had like out of the restaurant dining. You can't call it outdoor dining because Penn Station's indoors.
What does that mean?
What you'd sit out there and you could see, like, they put on a show for you down there.
Can you explain what you just said, Don?
They would have like there was inside Caboose, and then outside they'd have like a little roped off portion with tables, but it's actually inside Penn Station.
Right. But you said we would go to Caboose for Saucy?
Yes.
What's that?
It's buffalo style chicken, which was, I'm starting to weep thinking about it.
Well, that was that good, huh?
You didn't know that? That's like a...
He never was at a show? Did he ever do a show from the Garden? Ever. Never, right?
I never went to Caboose for Saucy. That sounded like you were speaking a different language. I don't even know what you meant by it at all.
Do you know the place Caboose?
No.
He never did a show with us at the Garden.
We went to that place after we moved, didn't we?
But we wouldn't involve Peter. We didn't like him then.
Well, guys, sad news. Just one major baseball loss after another. Now, Hall of Famer, a big part of the Big Red Machine in Cincinnati, Joe Morgan, passed away at 77 years old. Of course, for me, he's part of my all-time favorite baseball commentary team, along with John Miller on Sunday Night Baseball. But he was a two-time National League MVP, a 10-time All-Star, 5 Golden Gloves. We say rest in peace to Joe Morgan.
Gold Gloves.
Sorry.
I thought that Johnny Bench said it best today, and I'm going to steal this line. He said it to Chris Russo on High Heat. He said, for those that knew him, no words need be spoken. And for those that didn't know him, there are no words that would do him justice.
That's great.
I mean,
Peter's right. That was a great team with Miller.
And by the way, you could tell how lovely he was.
Oh, he was a lovely guy. He really was. He was so nice to me over the years and just a really, really wonderful guy.
It was in his
voice.
And
what a player. What a player.
Yeah.
It's between Joe Morgan and Honus Wagner to be the best second baseman of all time.
Well, I was going to also say, where is he? And I know we have to break, but where is he in the conversation also? Let's think about this. Best athlete turned play-by-play or a commentary guy, because his level as a player and as a commentator were incredible.
No, it's a great point because, you know, Tim McCarver was a very good ball player, but not a Hall of Fame.
Not
player.
Joe Morgan good.
Tom Seaver was good. Tom Seaver was a good announcer.
But not as good as Joe Morgan.
No.
Morgan's terrific.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.